Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. And it's Friday. The date is the 15th. Oh dear. Five more days, guys. Five more days.
Leave the government people alone, Helmut. Leave them alone.
Hey,
next
look.
Wednesday. Just sorry, guys, for sharing your details. Next Wednesday, yes, that's you guys.
Everyone knows the calendar. Just looking at it going like, gosh, I need to check on my teacher and nurse friends.
At least, what was that phrase you keep using, Amut? At least the payday nexus and the weekend nexus don't meet.
Yeah, they didn't meet.
Okay. So at least there will be longevity being applied.
From the, you know, I did a little bit of math last week. Don't ask.
Yeah.
And I discovered that, ours is having that crossroad.
At the end of this month. Yeah, guys, don't call us.
He's having that crossroad of weekend versus...
Don't call us. Yeah, we can wave at each other, don't worry. In the, you know, when we are busy having the shopping trolley races.
I mean, at least you tell people not to call you. I just change a SIM card.
How many numbers? How many?
This one that's exclusively mine.
But yeah, well, dear listeners, welcome you guys once again to this Friday afternoon session of the Home Run, obviously your drive time session. It's where myself and Helmut, we obviously bring you the intricate details. No, we don't sound like a gossip column.
No, we don't.
Who loves using that term, intricate details?
Let's go with the interesting.
Yeah, well, interesting details as well, you know. Also getting into the nitty-gritties, another term that I love using. So we give you that particular insightful look into discussions that obviously pop up every day through our broadcasting, through the various programs that we bring you through, as well as also afterthought discussions that you would be asking yourself, where did Namibia sign this treaty to be involved in this initiative?
When did this happen?
You know, I met a guy just now, Hamut, who presents like this. You must come to the watering hole. You need to do this. Do you know how annoying that is?
Was he at least a preacher in the previous life?
No, it's a guy that's practicing to become a local politician at the end of this year's election. And I was going like, you know, some of us Namibians, you know, we dabble into alternate realities. Some of us want to go into being religious leaders. And I use the word dabble because literally you can see, oh, I see Helmut is driving a Lexus. I also want a Lexus from my community, from my congregation.
Yeah, now how did he
get
it?
That Lexus?
Well,
oh, it's every Sunday's offerings. Oh, so that's how the economic model works, which is a business model, by the way.
No, I still maintain that,
And the other one is the political, going the political route.
Look, there's a myth that I've been trying to do in my very, limited mathematics head. So take that with a pinch of salt that I've been trying to wrap my mind around. Look, the 90% of the congregation can't afford bread. But you have bodyguards. So you're telling me all this money is coming from these congregants. It's either these congregants are really dumb, really loyal, or that's money laundering. One of the three.
I heard a story of a story of a story based upon an entity, a religious entity here in Windhoek, that literally on the Sunday told the people, you must give everything you have to us, your religious leaders. Because I won't say the church, because that'll be a very broad statement. So, the guy's aunt apparently took whole salary when she got paid and thought, you know, the salary would be multiplied like an investment account and gave it like that.
Why'd people do that?
I did not believe it the first time, but when I heard about the annoyance factor in this particular person's life about such a scenario, I was like, that really happened?
There's no amount of scripture that you're going to read to me to make me do that.
There's no amount of religious intervention that will allow you to help me depart from my $20 in my pocket. Or $10.
I know, we're going to
stick. Or even my $5.
We're going to stick to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to stick to what I can, give without closing my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's get to, you know, let's talk much broader economic discussions.
Yeah.
And diplomatic. And today's discussion is around the subject of Samoa agreements. Now, this is a big club, because every time that we talk about, what I like to call, you know, ecumenical hacks taking place around the world, you have African Unions, you have African Union guys that are, you know, having their own goals and agenda and development wise.
Mm.
And you have, you know, the SADC guys, you have the SACU guys, it's like we have a lot of, kind of
people. You have the ECOWAS neighborhood. A lot
of clubs. You have the ECOWAS and you have, you know,
you have ESAMI deciding itself somewhere. And then you've got that North African league there that sometimes you wonder, are these guys part of us?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, like you're going like, ish.
And then you hear Afrexim Bank is headquartered in Cairo and you're like, oh, okay. So you guys are part of us. Okay.
You guys are part of us. So every time that we want to talk diplomacy,
yeah,
we're going to be sitting in Ethiopia. Every time we want to talk finance, it's Cairo. So look, I don't understand.
Every time we have to talk Pan-African Parliament, lawmaking, South Africa, we go to Johannesburg.
Look, whoever picked, now just look at how these HQs are scattered.
Yeah,
one in the far south, one in the middle, and the other in
the far north.
Don't worry, we got this.
Yeah.
So the goal is to travel.
I think we just don't have one in the west of the continent.
I don't think we have one in the west though.
We don't have one in the west. That's very interesting to come up now.
Oh, it's either, okay, unless we have one that I'm not aware of, because I know the AU HQ is in Ethiopia.
But the AU Development Bank account is also, I think, in Egypt or in Tunisia, one of the two.
That's interesting, seeing where all the money is going. But whoever picked...
No, it's where the money is coming in.
But whoever picked...
Addis.
No. Jobek. Pan-African Parliament.
Oh.
That's very stereotypical. But let's talk now Samoa agreement. This is a massive
group. Guess where the AU Development Bank is.
Oh, come on. We're still on that painful one. Go on.
Oh, wait. Let me be sure about this. Where are the AU... Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast.
Yeah. So at least we have something in the...
Is that Afrexim?
No, the AU Development Bank, ADB.
Oh, okay.
Afrexim was the helping with the import-export functions on the continent.
Yeah.
To facilitate the AFCFTA discussion.
And they are partly into funding energy initiatives. Yeah.
Which we also sometimes also need to understand.
Well,
how did that be placed there? It should be under the development bank. But, we'll be chewing bubblegum from there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So at least we've got the star happening, you know, in that scenario. So, yeah. No, Ethiopia is east, Helmut.
Yeah,
Ethiopia is east. It's not central.
But
if you look at it in really like a straight east line, Ethiopia looks in the middle-ish.
I think I only focused, looked at the map of Ethiopia when I was talking about the National Assembly Standing Committee's visit to Ethiopia. That's when I looked at the map and went like, these guys don't have a shoreline.
Mm.
I thought they had until, you know, I looked at the map of Eritrea. I was like, oh, that's why. Commercial break.
Namibians, ShopRite is turning 35. For 3.5 decades, you have trusted us for quality products and unbeatable prices. And we thank you. Celebrate with big birthday specials on everything, such as 2 kilograms real good frozen mixed chicken portions, $89.99, 2 kilos nice rice, $39.99. You don't want to miss out. ShopRite, 35 years of value you can trust. Always.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So to continue, today's discussion is one that is somewhat a little painful if you look at it, and it did not actually occur to me just how painful the whole subject is until you brought up Pan-African Parliament in Joburg. And that's it. In all these, organizations that we have, like especially intergovernmental organizations that we have on this continent, what we're talking about is how to take Africa to the economic level where we have developed
countries. And the lack of these three that I just showed you in the break.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at the organizations that we have on the continent, one that is a multinational party. You have a lot of different countries that are parties to to this organization and this agreement. Whether you're looking at it from a SADC or any intergovernmental bloc on the African continent, from ECOWAS and all that, is Sahel security. It's still a work in progress. But one hurdle that we keep coming. Coming back to, it has become a revolving door at this point, is we are very good at making plans, at putting everything on paper. Oh, boy, are we good.
We are also good, Helmut, at showing up to events. We know how to dress good and dress very well.
SNT. We are not very good at showing up. It's because of SNT. Look,
I was at least keeping this thing, there in a tight scenario, and the people go like, yeah, you're right, right. No, we Africans are good at playing dress-up.
If it wasn't for SNT, we wouldn't show up. We'd be doing Zoom. Look. True.
This could have been an email discussion.
Yeah. That's why I was shocked when I heard during when the African leaders met in Ethiopia for the AU summit, that there are some African leaders that didn't show up because of their political reasons with their neighbors and stuff.
Mm.
Like, this must be bad. This must be bad.
Yeah.
It's like one of that family member who is known to be a weapon of mass food destruction. Every time that they say that they have lost their appetite, everyone in the family goes, call the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they are the first ones that go like, I'm going home, guys, and everyone is asking, what happened to the food and the drink?
Uh-huh.
What happened? And you see the people walking out there with the cooler box filled to the brim.
We know, we all have family members who will, who will be crying because of a heartbreak and eating in my family. That's me. Losing appetite. Yeah. Rookie. Because the planning is very good, we more often forget one thing. And one thing that we keep singing, I swear, I use social media a lot and I keep running into a lot of, I really did not like this week's NAMCO bail hearing, because one lawyer, I don't want to mention any names, called us WhatsApp qualified lawyers, making judgment on things.
No, but who was making judgments? That's the downside.
WhatsApp qualified lawyers. That's what we were called. And
the whole media or what?
WhatsApp qualified lawyers that are,
Or all the rest
basically,
of the,
public.
I'll take that label.
Judgments going on social media. It doesn't have any legal backing.
That is true. 100%. No, I agree. I'll consent to that labeling.
Now, as a qualified WhatsApp, as a WhatsApp qualified lawyer, I'm yet to respond to that statement.
You're the only one here between us that went to UNAM for said qualifications.
Look, the thing is, I have to settle these once and for all. But, when it comes to planning, we are very good.
Yeah.
But our efficiency when it comes to planning and executing all these things is one that's somewhat, also questionable, because last week we looked at the state of the nation, state of the region addresses.
Yeah.
And one thing that we kept running into was that, how do we share the information that we are producing with regards to whatever project that we're planning on implementing, because there's clearly a communications gap.
Yeah.
And we saw this with the capital projects report coming out of the National Assembly Standing Committee. And that was said, there are some public office figures that came out asking what project. So, that also is not a very good sign. So that goes to shows that, from implementation, don't even bring up Peugeot. Mm. And we keep making the same mistake. So, the thing is, we are very good at coming up with plans, but we keep forgetting all the time that to implement these plans, a lot of money is needed.
Yeah. And that the plans are obviously, they might sound good. In many cases, they sometimes even have a scope in terms of understanding what the financial...
there is a blueprint.
The financial implications would be. The downside is, it's the argument that I made yesterday, Hamoud. It's the argument that I made in a discussion on Wednesday to some people where I cited... I'll zone in on a specific scenario. I don't have to mention names. We all know he's now minister. If you go and tell people, the whole of Namibia, I want to see more Namibians participating in 51% mining ownership. And here's the worst part. Some of the print media platforms ran with that story as if it was now, it's gonna happen. They don't know. You and I, we both bought the book.
It's Namibian.
Who has access to 300 million? Even if you own the land, Almut. Let's say you own the land and you've got that mountain. Do you have 300 million? Do you know that a guy, we went into a slight debate, me and this other guy, on Wednesday. And I asked him, do you have 300 million on you? He says, no, Dwight. And I asked him again, do you have access to 300 million? No, Dwight. Just say, now, if you own the land, what will you do to gain access to the 300 million to start the mining enterprise to get the ball rolling? Yeah, but he wanted now to change, and deviate. You know how much discussions go. The person wants to bring in another idea, completely derailing us from this core and central problem, which is a fact.
Yeah.
It's a core and central issue. He wants to now bring in, I asked him again, no, focus on the 300 million.
Yeah.
300 million. It's not even to say lithium mining gets a 300 million is a must. And copper mining is a 2 million for your seismic survey. No, it's a blanket 300 million for every resource in the mining sphere.
This is...
there are so many, and yes, you are right. There are so many of us that don't empower ourselves to go and read a little bit more, to inquire from an article that gives you half-baked information in many cases sometimes, yes. I'll be honest, my discipline, the journalists out there, they want to finish a tally of, get to the 500 words and that's it and submit the story. And then their editor is also just not too bright and just runs around with a thing and goes and pastes. Now you go read, or you accidentally, you buy that newspaper and you go like, why did I spend $5? I didn't get any information. It didn't enrich my life in any direction. Why did I buy this thing? Because nothing was shared there. Nothing. You weren't informed. You didn't walk away with more information.
You know that 300 million example?
Yeah.
Look at it this way. All you just have to do is put yourself in the shoe of any investor. I know you are broke. So am I. So yeah. Just put yourself in.
No. We are literally... mice in a church.
Really?
We are poor.
Yeah. Just ask yourself for one question.
Broke is not even a label.
Oh,
poor,
yeah,
is a standard. We are there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Almut. But
there is being broke and then there is being poor.
Yeah. That's where we are. That 300 million, we can't even look at it.
Ish.
We can visualize it in the mind.
I think there is broke, there is poor, and then there is suffering. you know, yeah, and then they said pain and suffering.
Ah, no.
Okay, yeah, so the $300 million example.
Okay, you were still on the $300 million.
Yeah, yeah, and well, the recent, you know, labor force survey clearly indicate that most of us, yeah, most of us are into pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the thing is, just put yourself in the shoe of any investor.
Yeah.
Just any investor. You have your hard-earned money and then you go to a country. You are not bulldozing through. You are just asking that, can I invest in this industry? Now, the first thing, obviously anyone, anyone that has, anyone that has money, the first thing they are going to do is look at the, the political and economic condition of that country. They will look at that before approaching that country for investment.
Mm.
No one will walk, not a single person on this planet will walk with $300 million into a war-torn country to invest unless you are an arms dealer.
Unless
you are an arms dealer. No one is that dumb because the return on investment is not, it's not guaranteed, if at all, in a war-torn country. But if you are if you are a war criminal or an arms dealer, that's your line of work, then go bananas.
Yeah.
Take for example, you're a Namibian, you're a millionaire, you want to invest in a business in a different country.
Mm.
And you go to that country and they tell you that, okay, you know what, you are coming with all the money, we have the resources, how about we reach an agreement to split 50-50? Mm. This, I think, where negotiations now comes in handy.
Mm-hmm.
If you can negotiate and reach that agreement, you're good. But it doesn't happen very often. Because this is one thing that the Templars were very right.
Mm.
More risk, more reward. Now, Mr. Shoban is pointing out something very clear in the introduction to Namibian economy, that the 300 million that you are starting with in terms of a seismic survey, and he's writing this mostly from an oil exploration standpoint, that is not a guarantee. There are a lot of people that have invested millions and millions of dollars in the extractive industry that showed potential, and then they came up empty. They had nowhere to recoup that money. It was gone. You can't go to the company that you hired to conduct the survey to ask for a refund, because they will be like, look, we gave you the service. What came out of it is not up to us. So, I think, the first thing that we have to start making peace with is that, if we want to achieve the degree of economic independence and economic or diplomatic or political independence that we want, we are going to have to start investing in our own endeavors.
We will have to, Amut.
We will have to. If not...
But it starts with change the price tag.
Price tag? Please elaborate.
That 300 million.
Mm-hmm.
Justify to you and me why it is out of our reach.
Okay.
Why are the two of us sitting here dirt poor? Because of that price tag. That price tag was made inaccessible to everyone else.
Yeah.
Remember what was in that Uis mining report when the standing committee went there.
Yeah.
Was that the small scale miners?
Yeah.
The small scale miners indicated a scenario of this is their cultural right.
Yeah.
Do you know there's something similar in South Africa as well? Here in the North Cape, on the other side of the Orange River.
Mm-hmm.
There are literally people that mine for diamonds just like that.
Yeah.
But they know where it is, and it's cultural knowledge. A guy went there, because I watched it on an Afrikaans program. He worked for, feature journalists. He went there to the area in the North Cape. And he asked the lady, can you show me where these excavation sites are, like the small scale miners do?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a short ad break coming, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next Wednesday, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past the hour of 5. And this is Home Run with Helm and Dwight on Eagle FM. So, finish your point, then I can come back with mine, because that's when I will basically, you know, draw a very sad picture of how the, you know, if you are broke, and a very good picture if you have money.
So where I left off, Helmut, was the scenario of when the description, the scenario of small scale miners in Namibia, mm-hmm. who, and it was indicated in the report, remember, that it's a way of life for them. It's a cultural product for them.
Yeah.
You know, for the activity that they were doing in that UIS illegal mining report.
Yeah. Quote unquote.
Quote unquote. But it was obviously answered in that report, the illegal mining quote unquote scenario. The discussion that stemmed from there is a similar thing that happened in the North Cape recently in South Africa. Does it stem from a supposed scamming operation that was ran by a guy by the name of Louis Liebenberg? He was arrested, charged, and you know, sentenced. He's in jail. He's been a year in jail now. So what happened was this guy apparently owes like a couple of billion rand to these small scale miners, these diamond miners in the North Cape of South Africa. And
so he was swindling them.
He was swindling because he told them he would be like the middleman in terms of collecting and then selling. And then he would share, he would give
the proceeds.
He would hand off proceeds in terms of what they want. So he was going to act like the.
So because most of the small miners don't have the market access.
Not just that scenario. They don't have the connections to that market access and they don't have the time to go and cultivate.
They don't even understand.
But what he did was he would tell them, yes, okay, supply. They supply without paying them yet.
Uh-huh.
And then he would go and sell and then he keeps the proceeds.
How did he keep coming back?
But he went to multiple people. It was a vast area that he visited because when this guy went into the, it's a pretty large area that he had to,
going to different people.
He interviewed people and it was massive distances. So the journalist tries to ask one of the aunties, the old ladies, so can you show me where these, you know, sites that you guys go and mine? She told them straight up, no. That's our cultural right. It's our birthright to access those processes. So you will start seeing Namibians in those various scenarios, in such various scenarios, indicating such terminology ever more. Namibians will get to such a level, Helmut, where they will tell you, since we've lived here, my parents have lived here, my parents' parents have lived here, we've got that birthright qualification to actually try and chart our own courses, which technically, Helmut, would, in a way, fall outside of that scope in terms of what our mines and energy minister went and indicated, 51%. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Any mining enterprise, most mining enterprises are predominantly on private farms. So the private farm owner, is anyway being incentivized by the operation. He or she are being paid like a rental fee, you know, an operating fee and cause to natural environment and damage and stuff. They're anyway being paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the discussion here? Are people trying to seek access to the activity? Many Namibians will tell you, hell no. I don't want to go get dirty on a mine. Be detached from civilization there in the bush for 6 months of the year. Stuck under a pit like the South Africans in the platinum and gold mines. Stuck for 6 months, 10 hours a day, underground. Which screws with your, sorry for using that word, but it messes with your eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being underground and in a dark environment.
Environment for an
badly lit environment. It messes with your eyesight.
So when you come out of there, it's gonna be like, the sun have gotten closer.
Yeah. I mean, do people really know what happens in the mining sector in terms of, employment standards or working conditions and the likes? How much you would say, please, anytime give me the opportunity to go and look after cattle. Give me the opportunity to play, the Hunger Games with a pack of hyenas. You will say thank you every time.
You know, here's the thing. The way that, every economic development that we plan, which is why I started on the foundation of we're very good at making plans, but we first don't figure out, we first don't try to figure out, how we're going to finance these plans.
Yeah.
So more often the plans almost, end up, not being executed. Now, we like to use, more often when we use the, when we run around saying, saying things like, foreign direct investment. Now, an investor, domestic or foreign, is a businessman.
Of course. Local or international?
Local or international, you are dealing with a businessman.
Of course.
That's a very basic way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You are dealing with a businessman. Not charity, a businessman. Now, once you understand that, it took me a while to basically wrap my mind around that, but it helps you understand, that some of the things that, you demand are only going to exist on paper.
Of course.
But the implementation of it is not that easy, if at all.
Implementation will be the actual thing on the ground.
Once you understand that you are dealing with a businessman, whether they're coming from outside or they're coming from inside, you are dealing with a businessman. Now, a businessman is running a business. Again, not charity. Now,
you'll have to tell the mine workers unions those things.
a business, not charity.
Yeah.
Now, once you look at it that way, you are going to begin to understand that, a business I don't know any business that's operating.
Mm.
And especially the multinational one. I don't know any that's operating because of one person's financial investment.
Mm. I mean,
they have shareholders.
Even look at the article we had in the Villager earlier this week. The one about the lopsided trade of Namibia and China. Same thing that Donald Trump has been shouting about and becoming pink on the other side of the world for. I'm sorry for making that, it's just indicates the blood pressure scenario.
Yeah.
Nothing crude about it. The lopsided trade is, where is Namibia's ability to add value?
Step one, what do you make?
Exactly.
Start with that.
And can you export it to China? Does China want it? Yes or no? Did you go and do market research? Yes or no? Do you have supply agreements in place with entities on the ground? Not the Chinese government. Go and develop, trade networks. That side. Do what Google did. Apple did. That book is here in Namibia. I found that book.
Okay.
The guy that wrote about how Apple literally built up the competition in China.
The Xiaomi's, the Huawei's.
No, it's not biting them back because those guys are all now doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Remember, Huawei was one of the sanctioned companies under Donald Trump.
Yeah, back in 2019.
Yeah. And Huawei went and developed something else. Then Xiaomi is developing its own particular platform on a Android, architecture.
Yeah.
What's the other one's name? ZTE is also doing the same thing. And ZTE is actually the largest of the three.
Oh, ZTE is huge. Yeah.
Mobile brands that I just mentioned. And then there's the one that developed the products for Africa. Remember?
Transion
with its Techno and its other brand, the Itel brand. So, in no sense can you not tell me, Helmut, that the Africans or that the Namibian can fly to China and go and develop trade networks or trade trade infrastructure.
More often when we go there is to do the thing that we pointed out earlier, you know, attend events, you know, smile for pictures and then come back.
Or complain about S&D.
I couldn't go.
My ticket wasn't sorted out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now the reason why I look at it from, you know, every time someone says foreign direct investor or, you know, or local investor, I'm hearing a fancy way of saying a businessman.
It is a fancy way of saying a businessman
who is coming to not to donate, to invest. That means anyone that's running a business, they are running that business because they are making profit out of it.
I mean, David told me earlier this week.
Fancy.
Or was it yesterday? David, told me that at the oil and gas conference, there were a lot of Nigerians presenting there. What for? Was it because Dangote flew here suddenly and they saw now on the other side? If anyone knows, I'm really sorry for trolling the Nigerians now. But the Nigerians are only known for two good things. Making Nollywood, you know?
Yeah.
Their movies. And for scamming.
I know, look, when it comes to movies, you're going to have to give Uganda, you know, credit.
They've only got one product.
One product. It was made with 80 US bucks.
Hey.
How much was that? Who killed Captain?
That's $1,600 Namibian dollars.
Try making a movie out of that. Okay, actually trying to make a music video out of that. Now, the reason why I took that detour of basically, throwing away the whole foreign direct investment. I know it sounds fancy coming out of someone's mouth, but what that basically means is that a businessman is bringing their hard-earned money, or evil gotten, it doesn't matter, they are bringing their hard-earned money and they are investing it in certain venture with the natural expectation of making out more than they are putting in.
Mm.
That's the only reason why anyone would own a business, to take an investment and put it in investment areas where they are expecting more out of it.
Yeah.
Not less, because then who'd be dumb to do that?
Yeah.
Now, once you understand that, foreign direct investors or local investors are just business individuals that are running businesses with the purpose of making profit, aka more than whatever it is that they are investing in that investment venture, then you are going to come to, again, a very obvious conclusion that, actually not obvious, but painful conclusion that any legal student knows that when it comes to the corporate world, the biggest case that is backstabbing left, right, and center each and every single employee under the financial institution of the West was ruled in 1919 in the case of the Dodge company and Ford Motor Company. Now, at this point, you have to understand that, Henry Ford is the one that was, slowly trying to be a nice guy in a very strategic way. You know how the British said they were going to abolish slavery, but then, we have just come to realize that this is a bad thing.
Mm.
But low-key, they knew why they were doing it. The American economy was rising to the point where it was being a competitor they can't stand against.
Yeah.
So they tried to figure out, you know, what does the American economy depend on? Slavery. So abolish slavery, make it illegal, send your navy across the seas to crack down on it in the name of you all of a sudden developed morality. But the reason was competition. If it wasn't for the competition, the British would not have done that.
Mm.
Now, using that example, you can come to Ford's, you can come to Henry Ford. Henry Ford, back before 1919. Now, what happened was, Henry Ford was making money at this point. He didn't have any competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was making money at this point, left, right, and center. The Ford Motor Company was making a lot of money. So he decided to increase the shareholders of his, the shareholder dividends through the roof. Then he made one proposal. How about we now just use the proceeds that's coming out of this financial year to increase our employees' salaries? Oh no.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great-tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
15 minutes past the hour of 5. So, Henry Ford was like, okay, we have increased the salaries, the dividends of all the, you know, of all the shareholders. Now we're going to, you know, the excess profit that we're going to make this year or, you know, maybe for a couple of years, you know, instead of, you know, instead of just keeping increasing the, you know, the dividends of shareholders, how about we take some of it and invest it in the lifestyle of employees so that they can also afford, you know, a certain level of comfortability in their lifestyles.
Yeah.
Oh, the Dodge brothers were in the early days of establishing their Dodge brand at the time. They didn't like it. Now, that's what takes me back to the slavery example. Now, the question that stood out, that's still basically, you know, debated today is, did Henry Ford start that? I mean, come up with that idea because he liked his employees or he just wanted to stamp up the competition? Because the Dodge brothers were coming out at this point.
I'll go with the second one.
Exactly.
Not that he was in love.
Out of the kindness of his heart.
I love you guys so much as my employees.
Yeah, so.
I've never heard that statement. I really have never heard that statement.
Me neither. Sorry, boss. Look, the thing
is. Why?
He's so mad at me after this.
No.
But look.
I hope he just calls you.
Look, the thing is, the Dodge brothers did not, of course, there's no way, the Dodge brothers had shares in Ford Motor Company. Mm. Now, he could not just unanimously make that decision. Mm. He needed board's approval. He needed, you know, approval from his shareholders. Obviously, the shareholders are represented by the board of directors. Mm. The board of directors representing Dodge, or the, I think they held those positions themselves. They told him no. You keep it doesn't matter how much, you know, how much money this company is making. We carried the risk of investing our hard money when this company started. Therefore, the more risk, the more reward.
Mm.
So they ended up in court. The judgment that was made then, was that, when it comes to any proceeds that a company makes, basically in summary, and anyone running the company have to choose between employees and shareholders,
mm,
the shareholders always take primary.
Yes, they do.
And that is the basis that every company with Western economic influence is running on. So I don't care how, you know, I don't care if that the company is being run by a pastor. The shareholders don't care about the religious belief of that guy. They are going to sue him if he made a decision that they didn't like.
Well, here's the thing, Hamoud. Obviously, just bringing us back on track, guys. I know me and Helmut, we sort of like, we went to Korichas and now we are back.
Yeah, now we're back.
Yeah, now we're back. We're obviously looking at the direction that the Samoa agreement wants to go. And if you've seen our poster, guys, on social media platforms, obviously on our social media platforms, you will see we're talking about the analysis of the Samoa agreement. It's been a long time since we haven't spoken about this thing because this thing is obviously the particular template that is guiding us in our aspect for sustainable development. Now, here's an interesting thing. Remember, and citing what you just explained, Amut.
Uh-huh.
An investor is a business person, whether local or foreign.
They're still a business person.
They're still a business person. What I reference in terms of what our mines and energy minister said last week at the Mining Expo of the future ambition of being at 51% ownership, and it should be Namibian.
Mm-hmm.
And what I also cited in terms of 300 million, in terms of that's the get into the door price tag for a seismic survey. And then the other scenario of these small scale miners. Now I feel more for the small scale miners.
Yeah.
I literally feel, I don't know what, the first time I've ever heard of small scale miners, Hamoud, was a discussion of, okay, so why are they known as small scale? And then, you know, you hear the human stories of, how they can sell to a few guys in Swakopmund or in Walvis Bay, who then sell it to tourists, and that, you know, they've got those arts and crafts shops in Swakop and Walvis,
yeah,
where the tourists stop, and much of the gemstones that you would find in those arts and crafts come from these small scale miners, and in many cases you have very clever. I use the word very clever. I don't want to use any other descriptive term. Very clever, sort of like, guys that decide, you know what, let's try and buy directly from these small scale miners. The downside is, many of the small scale miners, and that's what pains me, they don't know the the actual value of the gem that they are busy excavating.
In other words, they don't know the environment they're operating in financially.
No, they know the physical environment, the financial one, the trading aspect.
Yeah.
They don't know. Now, Namibians have also, that's not the rest of us, have also made the one-to-one connection in terms of you would hear the international, the holdings company, let's say, of the enterprise mining here in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
you would hear that enterprise, the holdings company,
mm-hmm.
made record profits and announced it to the world in its where it's headquartered in
yeah,
the world.
Yeah.
But then the subsidiary here in Namibia would tell the local Namibians, yeah, you know what, we'd had some economic downturns, certain things happened somewhere. And, but by the time you, us, the public, hear that, the government has already been told. The government was like told like 2 months in advance, this is what we're going through. So give us like, you know, then they negotiate in terms of what discounts. And I love using the word discount. I'm sorry, guys. But to me, it looks like a discount. When you go and renegotiate tax discussions and stuff like that because you couldn't sell or you couldn't reach a quota of earnings from the mining enterprise in Namibia, then those negotiations then happen. But then the other things are paid for. For example, the pay as you earn taxes on the salaries and stuff like that and contributions to Social Security and some stuff like that. I still don't understand why Social Security exists because I don't benefit anything from that thing. You don't benefit, and no man in this country benefits from Social Security. I really want to understand that thing. That enterprise really
has Social Security does, Dwight.
No, really. My former lecturer works there. And I've got a former colleague, classmate that studied with me marketing. They really have to come and explain to the world, to the whole
world. They're so mad at you after this.
Why do they exist? Hamoud, why do they exist?
There's an example I would give you, but it would get us fired.
No, I know the example as well. Mm-hmm. And it's only to the benefit of women.
No, mine is very different, believe me.
Even when you become old, Helmut, mm-hmm. even if we reach 60 today, you and me, we fast forward, we become 60.
And let's not do that.
We would get more money from GIPF, you know,
mm-hmm.
in applying for the old age grant
mm-hmm.
than we would ever get from Social Security. Why does it exist if we men, because it's a discriminatory factor against us, our gender? I know, I'm now becoming a gender activist. I'm sorry.
It's on fire.
I'm sorry, guys. But really, why does that thing exist? Hamoud,
mm-hmm.
Social Security is supposed to be there. If you're unemployed, you're going to go and apply for some sort of a support funding, support, you know, something to keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
That thing can become a basic income grant. Universal Basic Income Grant.
Really?
Social Security. It's in the
name.
Those
are a bunch of questions I've never even asked myself. Like, you know, because
I tried that once
and?
To go and ask them. Getting payment? I'm sorry. You're not a woman. You're not pregnant. You're not an old person.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I was told like that. Stop. That's the Afrikaans word. But pointedly, I was told, you're not a woman. You're not pregnant. And you're not old. And I was 28 at the time.
So you have to be a woman.
Pregnant. Qualifying factor, you must be a woman. Second qualifying condition, in the event you are pregnant. If you're a woman working and you are pregnant, you can apply. Last qualifying factor.
That to some degree helps the husband.
If you were a worker, maybe of an enterprise, but you need some sort of support function, that too.
No. since we are on a return journey to the Samoa agreement.
We were supposed to be on that bus at the start.
No.
But we flew off to Cairo and then we got lost somewhere in Korejas.
There's a good reason for that, because I know that when it comes to the implementation of all the plans that we are going to agree on, it's all going to come down to we can make as much plans as we want. It will always boil down to who is funding it.
Mm.
And the people that are funding it are always going to, you know, the one that's going to spend the most is going to have, the most to say.
Mm.
Now, and Now, if you want, like the best example of this that exists out there is in lobbying. A lot of politicians that are lobbied to be in parliament, the finance is given to them.
Yeah.
By mostly private entities. And the votes that, now that money enables them to market themselves to get the votes that they get at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So when they find themselves in a seat that they were running for, what do you think the first question they ask themselves for? That's why I like the Christian religious books now. You can't serve two masters. You're going to have to either serve the people that funded you there or the people that voted for you to get there.
No, but politicians are the only ones that do that.
Yeah, but the first question you have to ask yourself is,
it's the same reason why it looks so twisted in the US. They're the only ones I want. They pulled it off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now you are going to be stuck in a situation where every 5 years there's an election. So if you want to have access to the same funding during the next election cycle that will enable you to reach the number of voters that you reached during the previous elections, you are going to have to be nice to the guys that gave you the money.
Mm.
Because if the guys that gave you the money don't give you the money, you are not going to have the means to access the voters that will then in turn vote for you. It's a very painful structure to look at. Now, but unfortunately, that's how it works. So when we look at all the plans that we are making, all the agreements that we are getting into, in terms of development, whether on a SACU level, whether it's on a SACU level, AU level, or EU, AU or Samoa, it's highly dependent on mostly the private sector.
Yeah.
In all these countries, they are the ones that have the financial power.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, politicians are just sitting there while they're talking about it. Don't get me wrong. They have their significance because they help establish the diplomatic lines.
Yeah.
That then opens up for the public, for the private sector, in different countries to start trading with each other. That's brilliant.
Mm.
Except every time that we, I think that's why we should really start using symbol language, because every time that someone says foreign direct investor, a lot of people think this is just someone with a lot of money in access and they're willing to just drop all of it on us and then they will pack their bags and go home.
Yeah.
Except the answer is no. That's a businessman. That's investing. And the only reason, the technical definition of investment is you're putting something in something and you're expecting something out of it. And before you ask, jackpot is not an investment. That's called gambling for a reason because, crossing your fingers and calling all the dearly departed family members to your aid.
No, but Helmut, remember when you and I did that lottery discussion last year?
Mm-hmm.
A lottery discussion stands a higher chance of creating, positive affinity and
overnight millionaire.
Exactly, because people will see there's a millionaire.
I really want to see you with $1 million. Yo,
No, I don't just want to win a million, but a million is obviously a nice target to have.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being because when you and I did the analysis last year of looking into the lottery legislation, the two acts, because the one that was being revised. When we looked at the two scenarios, we went and scrutinized what was the founding guarantee, which was almost 100 million Namibian dollars that was supposed to be put on the table by the entity, the business that now wants to run this activity on behalf of the Ministry of Environment. 100 million, Helmut, tells me the opportunity of being able to win up to 100 million. It doesn't say I just win a million. It means to me, it translates to me in the act that you can win up to 100 million. So I still feel in a Namibian context, if Namibia has a national lottery, It is.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer. SMS the underliner code to 75050 or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
But before we continue, let's take a live read.
New short courses available at Delvitje University. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Science program is the Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution. Admission requirements, a grade 12 senior certificate or an equivalent NQF level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in the five best subjects and a D symbol in English. Or a grade 11 certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English. Plus a 2 years relevant industry experience that'll be required. The course cost is 5,500 Namibian dollars. Application period is 1 August to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462 or email admissions@wu.edu.na. Delvitje University, where everyone is an achiever. So, where I left off with the lottery scenario. Helmut, you'll be able to create so much more fanfare buy-in by people into the lottery discussion, in a population of 300 million Namibians. There is no excuse to not achieve those levels. I mean, the downside is just you will see the signs of people who would have obviously struck this lovely bonanza. Mm-hmm. It would have just been a scenario of identity protection by the agency.
Yeah.
The opportunity that, because the agency also makes a lot of money just administering this activity.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in that ticket price in South Africa, this is what I've observed. The ticket price it's the same as the petrol, the price per liter for petrol.
Like a bunch of levies stacked up
together. Yeah, it's a bunch of prices that make that final price. And it's guaranteed the authority or the entity that runs it on behalf of the authority in South Africa, they already make their money from what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
So what the user, the everyday Namibian would be engaging in is literally a mechanism that has a cycle to it. You need to prove the cycle. Mar.
Identity protection.
Yeah. Okay. But then you sit with the ugly thing like in South Africa where it's to such an extent where you even have the community conspiring, you know, to be the asset forfeiture department against the winner. And I mean, it's you telling your brother or you telling your sister, and your sister goes and tells your mom goes and tells the lady at the church. The lady at the church has a son that is in that asset forfeiture department.
Oh no.
And then they conspire to get to you.
No, Dwight.
Yeah.
In Africa, not just Namibia, in Africa, all you are just going to do is you are going to tell your mom, and then God forbid you win that on Saturday,
yeah,
the next Sunday,
yeah,
she will be at the altar. Hey, you have no idea how God has blessed us this weekend.
I'm telling you, Mos, it'll be a chain reaction of like people sharing the positive news just for the positive news to convert into
something negative, yeah, someone getting hurt in the process,
yeah. So it's an ugly thing. I mean, it's a reality and these things happen. But we obviously, you and I, we're still on the notion of the sustainable development aspects. You asked the question, sometime we've got to get to doing things ourselves.
Yeah.
Helmut, I am still sitting with the notion there are so many factors that we can immediately start off here in a Namibian context. I am greatly disheartened by this discussion of mobilizing for the youth. But then many of the youth fail to even pass English in grade 10. Many of them even fail to pass in grade 11. And then you ask yourself the question, okay, where do we find ourselves in the future? We are sending cohorts of 30 Namibians now to go and improve or gain skills in this green hydrogen programs for Namibia.
Yeah.
Remember when we did the youth discussion thing in last month? We're sending cohorts of 30 Namibians, Hamon. 30 out of 3 million. Let me correct it. 30 out of the 1.5 million Namibians that are supposed to be the working component
working
of
age group.
Yeah, of Namibia. We're sending 30 Namibians at a time. And you must have at least completed some sort of a level of tertiary education.
I have one question though. I'm terrible with numbers, so I won't even waste my time in that. I'll, just wait for them to come back, and when they are, are working with all these sophisticated machines and they come back with stress, I'll give them a show, they pay me their money.
What?
That's how my line of work works. See, it works all the time. Look.
Oh my goodness.
The thing is, I have one question on something, on a point you made earlier though. Mm. That, most
the
of
the social security point.
Not the social security. Okay. No, that one's still on you.
Yeah. No, that is a born fact. That's a fact. I need to know why it exists.
It's the point you made about, small scale miners.
Yeah,
you did make a point that they don't know a clue of what's going on in the financial sector of the industry they're involved in.
Exactly.
So
in the resource that they busy extracting.
Yeah, the value and most likely industrial application and just how much they are most likely being ripped off in terms of price.
Yeah.
why not just give them these skills? Why not implement, some kind of, elementary or rudimentary, mining courses that you can study at a technicon, for example.
Yeah.
So that you can just get the basics. So that you at least, you at least know the value and the uses of that metal.
Yeah.
And, again, if you get in some kind of trouble, who is the, who do you run to for help?
Mm.
Because that's just a waste of resources for me. If we have opened up an industry that will include people that are not mining with earth moving equipment, which is a very good initiative, if you ask me, but it's just a waste of that resources if we are not training them to understand, first of all, the value of what they're dealing with.
Mm.
And then that brings us to the, let's go and train people for green hydrogen.
Mm.
Who's getting the cost?
The donors. Because it's being run predominantly through, what's this institute's name? Saskal. On the other side.
Uh-huh.
That was in the presentation and the report that we did. Because I also wrote the article most. So Saskal in partnership with the German government run this program. So the cost is affiliated there.
In other words, we are not paying for it.
We're not paying for it. So in other words, it's a limited participatory function.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah. So firstly, you'll get the first Namibian cohorts. They won't be youth anymore because in some cases, the guys have to be there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one guy has to do two years masters and another 6 month scenario in somewhere else. And then he has to partner both skill sets as an engineer. Into it. And then the other guy was highlighting, remember the guy from the vocational scenario,
yeah.
Citing that in Namibia doesn't have advanced levels of the vocational
training. That's required for the industry.
Yeah. And he has to reach a certain level in Namibia and then he has to go to Germany to get that extra level accreditation or scaling up. Now, here's the particular factors. Now, obviously the rest of the whoever in government, whether it's the National Planning Commission, or whoever in terms of that, or even the green hydrogen guys will come and tell you that that's why they are positioning the training, programs and the funding programs and the youth funding and all these initiatives. You hear various initiatives happening all across the place in the development of the green hydrogen program. The downside is, Hamoud, when you look at how many people we will need, remember the 200,000 maximum employment scale, which is in all aspects associated to green hydrogen's employment promises.
Yeah.
If you look at the rate, training 30 people per year for the past 3 years makes it a little bit slow. It looks a little bit slow. We're not even yet at the guys that have to be the construction workers or the guys that have to be the wind. Oh, yeah, the VTC guy said, we don't have wind turbine technicians.
Oh. Okay.
Or was it wind turbine? Yeah, there's no training course for wind turbine technicians. And we're busy importing those massive wind turbine blades to Ludritz. Remember?
Let me take you back to the lottery. That's like me winning a lottery and then buying a Bentley.
Yeah, yeah. And then I drive it to Ventuk.
Yeah, I drive it to Valves every time that it needs service. And yeah. Now I'm paying for, because there's no one that's qualified to service the car in Namibia. You'll have to get them from South Africa where they will have to fly in, not drive in, fly in, and then stay in these fancy accommodations. You can expect a 5-star hotel for someone of that caliber. Looking at the car brand that you know. Now, the thing is, if you have the money, you can, because that's what they will assume if you are driving a Bentley. You can afford to, and I'm coming to service it. I'm not booking a guest house.
Mm.
No, I'm booking a hotel room. Mm. I'm going to the presidential suite. You're paying for it.
Mm.
Now, so, look, the thing is, making economic plans is, sometimes as countries, we behave, I think it's very interesting to look at it, from that point, that, as countries, we are an extension of our individual. In other words, I sit every night scrolling through social media and, looking up houses that are million dollars in US each, but I'm scrolling through. No, I don't like this one. And really?
Yeah.
Do you really have a choice? So, the thing is, every plan that we are going to make is going to come down to money. Which is why there are two things, at least when it comes to financial independence or, progression.
Mm-hmm.
Progress towards, financial independence. This year, in May, Tanzania announced their $260 million project. They finally opened the John Magufuli bridge.
Yeah.
One of the things that they quickly pointed out, that's the first thing that, sent me, rolling on the floor, was that, the whole thing was funded by Tanzania. They did not have any type of external. And now, that's where I'm going.
Whether that
has some degree of wele or not, that's what they put out in public.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, and then we looked at our, we looked at our, what's that thing that I keep forgetting? Midterm budget review? What document that we're going through that looked at the developmental objective?
The expenditure framework.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. The expenditure, midterm expenditure framework or something. Yeah. That also indicated that, most of our developmental goals, we are slowly scaling up our local funding towards these developmental goals as opposed to previously when we depended heavily on our developmental partners.
Exactly.
Again, that, oh, we are doing great. So believe me, every time that I'm stressed, I think about that. I'm like, well, we are headed somewhere in terms of independence. Unless that stress is have to do with my account is empty, then there's no amount of comfort that will solve that.
It gets us somewhere, Ahmed. It gets us somewhere.
Yeah, it gets, but there's progress.
But obviously when we look at something like the Samoa Agreement, which cites, obviously trying to establish safety and security, which was one of the things, establishing sustainable development, establishing governance and democracy and human rights, establishing, what was the other one? There's like five requirements there.
Wrap everything in, I think everything can be wrapped on in bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4, and bullet number 4. Inclusive, sustainable economic growth and development.
Environmental sustainability and climate change. And then there's your favorite one. Based upon the Mate plan, migration and mobility.
Just say migration. What do you mean, migration and mobility?
Migration. So, that, the explainer is obviously based upon the Cotonou plan, as indicated in the documents that they've got here by the EU.
Commercial break.
At ShopRite, we're celebrating 35 years of lower prices with unbeatable deals. Let's mark the occasion with savings on essentials like 2 kg nice rice, parboiled rice for just $39.99. 250 grams Nescafe Ricoffee instant coffee, only $69.99. Valid until 17 August 2025. Don't miss out on these deals. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust, always. Stand to win your groceries for free at ShopRite. Buy any 3 participating products. Find the unique code on your till slip. WhatsApp it to us and see if you're a winner. Plus, there are instant daily prizes to be won. Only at ShopRite.
Great news! Imper just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imper? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. The common principles and covers, like priority points for the new Samoa agreement.
Yeah. So, guys, don't worry. The Samoa agreement has been active already since it actually took its true effect last year, 2024.
Yeah.
Even though it was signed in 2023, just to let you know, December, or was it in November?
It came into effect last year, January.
So the signing was needed. The understanding obviously here is that Europe wants to develop Africa, the Caribbean and Pacific Island nation, Pacific Island zone to a sustainable, a specific level. That's obviously why you're seeing so many particular projects kicking off in Namibia, things that range from democracy, human rights and, community development all the way through to environmental management,
infrastructure, all across the board,
economic development and then sustainable development. So it's a wide spectrum of activities. So, and it's all based upon the Global Gateway facility that puts the whole funding. I think Africa gets 1.5 billion and then the other 1.5 billion is split between the other two zones. So, if you're looking at that financing scenario, obviously,
how much does Africa get?
1.5 billion.
Per year?
No, the whole...
overall?
I forgot how long the Global Gateway time frame is, but it's based upon the Samoa agreement scenario as well.
Now, you know how they say follow the money?
Of course.
It's not only true when it comes to evil activities, even when it comes to legal investments.
Evil. You had to go for evil activities.
I had to go for evil, maniacal. Now, 1.3 billion of whose money?
Of European economies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is it a donation or an investment?
That was the argument that happened most last year. Alternative mining in Davao.
I'm glad there was a debate.
Where the former Director General, Obed Kanjo, there to clarify to the audience.
Yeah.
That's now traditional leaders and religious leaders.
Yeah.
It's a donation. It was given. No strings attached. And it was based upon the green hydrogen where he had to provide
the
clarity.
You see now, when it comes to donation, no strings attached, that's when I also start going, well,
You see there's a private company busy installing the things on the ground and you're like, ha!
No strings attached.
No strings attached, sir.
Look.
There's a private company there, huh? Homeboy is declaring profits at the end of this financial year.
Uh-huh.
No strings attached. But, obviously, it was now to allay any particular misunderstandings.
Yeah.
For other particular participants, other particular Namibians. Now, I'm staying away from that scenario because that is a slightly exhausting subject matter to return to every time. Having to explain to people what is green hydrogen, what it does, what is the aspect of green hydrogen in development in Namibia. It's completely manufacturing. Many people think it is mining. It is manufacturing.
Yeah, it can easily be confused for the for an extractive industry, as you pointed out this other time.
And then, and it's a good thing that the cohort that is being sent for development in Germany, in terms of skills development, those guys obviously would, they know already this, they are participating in a manufacturing context.
Mm-hmm.
The engineering guys. I'm just worried about the vocational cohort, the vocational skills cohort. Whether they know how they're participating. So, moving on in that subject matter. Now, the recent developments between the Mining Expo of last week and the Oil and Gas Conference of this week puts us in a weird position, Helmut, because the power to X scenario of the Green Hydrogen Development Program, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know what the power to X aspect is, the power to X aspect is where the ammonia development or the ammonia production comes in. The power to X scenario is potentially all the fanfare that people had about Ali Dangote coming here to Namibia to potentially look at Namibia to develop an oil refinery scenario in 2034 is that the green hydrogen guys can make synthetic oil products or fuel products.
Yeah.
By the time that the green hydrogen is produced, they can make your jet fuel. Namibia can already sign. They can make,
Okay, thank you very much for the jet fuel.
Yeah.
Then can we have a Namibia?
Yes! Then we can have a Namibia. Because if you can sort out the power source for a transport medium, if you sort out the power source, then you know you can have the medium.
You do realize we're thinking it from the point of, to the point like,
Madmen obviously sitting in a studio.
Yeah, like two crazy guys.
With no engineering background.
No, not just that. We are thinking.
Not like, realizing that there are taxes at airports that the old Air Namibia did not pay.
Believe me, worse.
And rental agreements.
Much worse. Like, we're looking at it from a very naive standpoint, like, whoever is going to refine, because the crude oil will obviously have to be refined and we don't have a refinery.
Yeah.
Whoever is going to refine it will just say, okay, you know what, Namibia, because the crude oil came from you, I will sell you this type of, this type of refined fuel at a discount.
Yeah.
Right? What? Most likely not.
Yeah.
So, the crude one is coming from you.
Yeah.
But, you're still going to have to buy it.
Yeah. Many people think that since we have the oil or perceived oil, because the thing is still has to come out of the Earth's crust, since we have the perceived oil, it will automatically improve our lives. Unless we position a mechanism like the Alaska Fund.
Oh, yeah. Whew, that one.
Where every Namibian can, where we can demand a basic income grant.
Okay, how is that not applicable to all states in the U.S. though? Because I've come to learn that it's only
no,
Alaska.
What people forget about the United States is that the United States is a federation of states.
Yeah.
It's the same concept in Russia as well. It's a federation. It's the same concept you will find in South Africa and you will find it in Australia. A federation is, you have to look how they governance structures. You have central government, then you have a provincial or state authority, and then you find all the smaller municipalities and local authorities. There is obviously their local authority provisions cite that people on the ground need to have a buy-in into governance and all that happening. And that's obviously a thing that happened back in the 70s when the oil and the gas was discovered in Alaska. And then the politicians there went and asked the people, do you want the activity to take place? And what do you want to see? And then everyone told those politicians, I want to see proceeds coming through from the extraction of this product.
Not just salaries, not just taxes.
Not just jobs or perceived jobs. We want to see, yes, you can claim your taxes, but we want to see that tax collection mechanism is what feeds the fund. So whether it's a Canadian company or an American company, they know they have to pay a portion into that fund. And every 12 months financial year, the state authority pays each registered, Alaskan resident as long as the person
without a criminal record.
Without a criminal record, and you must have stayed lived
that's
in Alaska.
That's the best way to incentivize peace.
In Alaska for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
Then you get a paycheck. How much if you got paid $3,000? You got paid 60 grand.
Every year.
It supposedly fluctuates. The lowest that it paid out was like a $700 for the registered people.
Again, but still, Namibian.
$700 times 20.
Yeah.
1,400, that's 2,000, that's, yeah. No? 700 times 10 is 7,000. Yeah, it's $14,000 at least. At the lowest rate. Times 20.
Yeah. Now, you see, so those initiatives.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me, between demanding, you know, a 50-70% stake in someone's company, you did not take risk in investing, or you go that direction. Yeah. I would go for that direction.
Yeah.
Because the other one, let's face it, there is no way in heck that's
even this thing that the Bank of Namibia is in charge of, the Velvicha Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yeah.
Helmut.
Yeah, put money in there.
Put money in there.
Yeah.
And then pay every Namibian a basic income grant.
Easy.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Do you know how instantaneously every Namibian would have an increase in, yes, we would have food inflation and other particular inflations. Some reason, people forget that lawmakers can come and tell private sector guys, hey, listen, for a period of 5 years, we suspend any price increases.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of those politicians around.
No, because they don't know.
We don't have a lot of those.
They don't know.
No, Helmut, they don't know. Dwight, you're missing the point. They know. The thing is, they'll be telling the person that funded their campaign to do that. And they'll be like biting the finger that to
tell you. Helmut, they go to town hall engagements or community engagements. And then they go in here like of concerns like, we need these kinds of things. And then all those guys do is like, okay, vote for me and I'll get it for you. So they immediately they impose the transactional relationship function onto the community that's giving them community feedback of concerns. Now, the community must first meet a condition for you to do something for the community.
I'm just a well.
If I was in that community, I would have said, okay, brah, incentivize me. Tell me why I must vote for you. I don't want a t-shirt and I don't want a cap and I don't want free food. I'll eat your food up. Thank you. But it still doesn't mean I will vote for you.
T-shirt. We have 3 minutes. Now,
yeah.
Let's look at, one question is, these countries that we have here, over 100 and something countries that are part of the Samoa Agreement, that's 27 EU states and 79 African and Caribbean and Pacific countries that are part to the Samoa Agreement.
I don't know why African Caribbean were thrown together. It's not like we are
African. Caribbean and Pacific countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Together representing 2 billion people.
Yeah.
And more. And you're just forgetting one thing here. How many of these countries are politically stable? That's why I'm looking
not
at
just
this
that all
going,
of huh? all of those three territories now, most of us were colonized by the UK, which runs the Commonwealth.
Thank you.
And when the king was asked last year in the heads of state's function in somewhere in the Pacific, so when is reparations winner? What are we looking at? And then what did he tell those guys? You know what, guys? I really don't have that checkbook, hey? You know, that checkbook is governed by my prime minister. You'll have to talk to him. And did that prime minister attend? No.
No, okay. Now, if you talk to your prime minister, you know what he's going to tell you?
What? We don't have the money, bro.
We don't have the money, bro.
Why are you answering? Don't answer. Just say, talk to my PA.
Anyway, I mean, all you just have to do is watch his prime minister. You're going to laugh and learn more about politics.
I love the banter there. I love the banter.
Look,
yes, Prime Minister.
Look, the stereotypes about the French in that sitcom. I don't know.
It's bad.
Oh no, it's
bad. Did you see the one where the guy says, the minister says, we must go for full European membership. And then the guy that's the advisor went like, no, minister, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? No, it's the exact reason we're in the EU. We are there to divide and conquer. Which they literally did. In 2020. They got it right. I'm in the
talk about poverty.
Talk about being a toxic neighbor. Yo, it's literally what they did. And you know what? Every historical case that that guy mentioned, that's in that one piece of dialogue, it was like, it's the reason why we fought Napoleon. We supported him, and then we were asked to, you know, financially, that's most what the British did.
Yeah.
They were the bankers for the Prussians and the Austrians. The other guys that they don't like.
Yeah. Look, war is stupid. I'm sorry, but war is really stupid.
That's completely dumb. But, I mean, that particular monologue in its own right. But yeah, you know, not to throw, you know, cold water on discussion. But yeah.
Yeah. One part of the whole agreement, you know, that I started asking myself was, congratulations. I mean, this is brilliant, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of African countries are still developing.
Yeah.
And they're still developing, getting over the pain of colonialism, still demanding for reparations. How going to balance this seesaw of asking for reparations, the same people that are funding most of the developmental projects that we have?
Oh, Helmut, I went to an event last night.
Loaded question. HD is about to murder us.
Yeah, he's about to murder us. And on that note, dear listeners, let's see each other again, same time, same place.
And until Sunday for me.
Oh, yeah, Sunday for me as well.
Yeah,
Sunday, the Sunday crew. Sharp guys. Yeah.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?